This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
All right, let's go around the NFL here in the loop on Sports Radio 610 after a night where we had the first round of the NFL draft and all sorts of things were happening, including lots of moving and shaking. But I feel like the main story that we were coming into this draft with, and the story that still persists, funny enough, where does Shedeur Sanders land? Because he clearly was not selected, including where it felt like at nine, where, I mean, if we were looking at, will the Saints be interested? They take an offensive lineman. And then we get to 21, where people had been thinking about
that's where
Pittsburgh
I thought he
Steelers.
Was gonna go.
I think we all were looking at it. In fact, let's play a little audio because a very prominent football mind in the world of sports media thought he's going to go there. Ryan Clark, former Pittsburgh Steeler, works for ESPN and hosts the Pivot Podcast. This is actually from the Pivot Podcast social media accounts. They were hanging out, the guys of the Pivot Podcast, watching to see how this unfolds. And this was him eagerly to see what was going to happen with Shedeur Sanders.
What the hell? Come on now.
Yeah, man. He even went further, was talking about like how Mason Graham was a good player, but man, they are now at the behest. Mm-hmm. They are now just, it feels like they're just Aaron Rodgers wants to do.
They have no second round pick. So it'd be one thing if they had a second round pick and you could probably get a Jalen Mirror or something like that. But y'all ain't got no second round pick.
How about Mel Kiper? Like he was livid. Because all he kept saying is Shedeur, Shedeur, Shedeur. And now
it was damn near breaking down the argument.
They were
Shedeur.
They were. Yeah. And you mentioned Jalen Milroe. There's a real sentiment. I don't know what you want to call it out there. Milroe might go before Sanders.
I think so, too, because I know right now people looking at the Browns like, oh, they got to get the quarterback. It's going to be Shedeur. I don't know about that, man.
Well, that'd be something. Milroe, Jalen Milroe.
That sounds like a trying to get somebody fired. In fact, that feels like if Jalen Milroe goes before Shedeur Sanders, I think you got to go and Jalen Milroe got to go up to Buffalo and go thank Josh Allen. Man, I'm just mixing up names. Josh Allen specifically, because that is exactly what we're doing here. We're like, oh, look at all these traits. We've seen it turn into something before. Let's try it again. It is in the vein of the Anthony Richardson. It is in the vein of who was the other big body dude that couldn't actually do this in a different way. But that's basically what we're doing here. Mm-hmm. It's just, we've seen it happen once. We've seen someone make the magic happen once. It can happen again.
I do think that I guess the other side of this is they don't have to play him right away. I think Anthony Richardson, you had to play him right away. Jalen Milroe, he can sit a little bit. And I also don't know.
No, that is a factor.
Yeah, I feel like it'd be a lot more pressure to play Shedeur kind of right away, too.
No, I think that's the human element that always comes into play.
I guess that's scaring some teams away, too, where you got to feel pressure to play him right away.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the other quarterbacks, you don't have to play right away.
Mm-hmm. All right, so some other things that happened around the NFL. Obviously, there were some trades that actually came into pass here, and I guess one of them was obviously involving the Texans. Let's start there. Because that was interesting with the Texans or the Giants trading up, and I thought some people thought as the Giants trading back into the first round to get that extra fifth year option with what you get on a first rounder compared to a second rounder. Usually that's big for a quarterback in particular with cost that it takes for, if you were planning on having that guy for those extended years. And they traded up not for Shador, but for Jackson Dart.
My guy. I don't know why I said that, but I've liked him from the very start of this whole process months ago. I was pointing it out to you when they were showing the highlights. His accuracy is just something you can't teach, you know. And I think they felt very much the same way, along with a lot more things that they know. But big, I think Jackson Dart is probably faster than Shador Sanders. I mean,
well, yeah. I mean, yeah, Shador is not like crazy athlete. In fact, he's a little bit more. I mean, he moves enough as to, you know, do the things that he was asked of within that Colorado offense. But it was a lot more kind of quick reading. In fact, funny enough, he kind of profiles like what you would. All right, we own race card, right? We gonna step into this space. Previously, when we kind of had very racialized analysis of quarterbacks, very much so,
where you go,
oh, well, the black guy is the mobile quarterback. That is the dual threat. And the pocket passer, the guy who stands in the pocket and really analyzes and throws the football from there, is the white guy. He kind of flouts those notions because he is more of the latter. He is more of the guy that kind of stands in and, you know, gets that ball fairly accurately and analyzes and reads the field pretty well. I think one of the tough parts about it, I know some people are talking about with Shador with the circus or whatever. I don't know how much the circus actually factors in. I think that he has a personality that is not for everyone. I think if you want to call that the circus, that's one thing. He just does not have a really strong arm. We haven't talked a lot about that, and he does not have an arm that cuts through the air. Plus, he's not crazy mobile, and like he does not necessarily create as much with his legs. And in this modern NFL, it feels like those are two things that you kind of need as prerequisites to play the quarterback position at a very high level.
It seems
like teams are kind of like, I don't know how much I want to buy into that, even though the other things that he has are very good profile of the talent.
Yeah, that's the thing. If he wasn't mobile, that's fine, but you got to have an arm,
big
or something.
Arm or an accurate arm.
Accurate, yeah, that got to be a big plus for you not to be as mobile or whatever.
Yeah.
And he ain't got none of that.
And you were talking about how Shador, you know, the whatever the personality thing is that you think he has, might not be a big factor. I think it would be a factor in New York. It would be a big factor in New York. Whereas Jackson Dart, I think fans are crazy and they want to see the rookie no matter what. But I think they're more willing for him to sit, you know, Jackson Dart to sit. And if you're looking for a good cross-cultural, cross-racial example. And I'm not saying, you know, he's this, but some of the characteristics that Jackson Dart has are kind of like C.J. Stroud's, except he played in a different offense. Like Stroud was more in a pro-style offense.
Stroud's got a better arm.
Stroud has a better arm, but he's good with the deep ball, like Stroud was. He runs when he needs to, like Stroud did, and he's incredibly accurate, which was Stroud's favorite, best characteristic. So, like, I'm not saying he's C.J. Stroud. I'm saying some of the characteristics he have are shared.
And it's a little easier for him to sit for a year rather than if that was Shador Sanders.
Yeah.
Hey, don't do that. Somebody said CJ's also light-skinned, though. All right. We don't have to get into, like, full colorism theory here. I don't know if we need to do all that. I was just pointing out how, you know, I think something that we could all agree on is that's something that had happened in the past. But, yeah, with that trade, the Texans sent just that 25 pick, and they got back 34, which they will use. They have the second pick of the second round, 99, which is a later third round pick, and then a 2026 third round pick. Compare that to the LA Rams at 26, who, you know, after the Texans had traded their pick, we were like, all right, what else is happening here?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, we have a trade. The Atlanta Falcons trade back into the first round in order to take a pass rusher, interestingly enough, is James Pierce Jr., right? Out of Tennessee, who had the lovely Rekia Jackson on his arm. I was like, oh, okay.
Was that her?
Yes.
I wasn't sure because I seen people debate like, no, that's not her.
Yes. Is that who I think it is?
Yes.
Yeah, I wasn't sure, yeah.
Shout out to the man. Yeah. Shout out to the man who gets to live in Atlanta. But then the Rams sent the 26th pick and a third round pick, but they get back a second-round pick this year, a seventh-round pick, and then a first round in the future.
Yeah.
And so, like, the Falcons gave up a next year's first-round pick. Not the only team to do that. Obviously, the Jacksonville Jaguars gave around a first-round. Multiple first-round picks from next year getting given up. One of them you can kind of understand with Travis. Or actually, can you understand either of those first-round picks? And what do you think that says? Do you think that says anything about next year's draft or about those teams in particular that they were willing to give up first-round picks in moving up, especially with the Falcons so late.
And not for a quarterback.
Not for a quarterback in either circumstance.
Which to me was the most crucial thing. I think, well, you can look at it two ways. The Texans felt like they got what they deserved for that pick. And I think, you know, the Rams clearly were willing to pay more. I mean, that's why it's such an inexact science. You know, in terms of if you're willing to pay that much for that guy.
Or the Falcons are willing to pay.
I mean, Falcons, yes.
But even then, it's kind of funny because you had a quarterback trade up and you didn't end up with a first-round pick in the way that the Rams did in a pick later. Like, just how? How does that happen?
Yeah. And so the Texans didn't necessarily, like, get fleeced or something because they got some good picks out of it. But the team right behind them got a lot more.
If you were inclined to be frustrated on yesterday, I imagine that was also another slight point of frustration for you.
You know, the other thing that was frustrating for me was just the feelings we were getting over the course of watching these guys come into the league. Even guys that weren't, like, necessarily going to be future Texans. Like Malachi Starks, we all three at the same time were like, that dude looked like he wanted to kill someone.
Oh, yeah, just like being drafted.
Slapping that thing.
He slapped because he signed to the Ravens. Yeah. Or he was drafted to the Ravens. Obviously, they'll figure out when he signs later on. But that dude, I don't know if he was just excited to play for the Ravens or just excited to be in the NFL.
Yeah.
I am scared of that Ravens.
Yes,
that's fair. I'm scared of that Ravens secondary.
I told you guys, okay, he's a Hall of Famer. Because he's with the Ravens.
Do the Texans play the Ravens this year? They don't play the Ravens. I hope not.
I think I would still take this Texan secondary over anyone, right? Yeah. You just have incredible up and down all the way across, left and right. But Malachi Starks alongside Kyle Hamilton and what they got going there, that seems like that's not going to be fun for the AFC North.
And then the other one is a player that we did sort of have our fingers crossed about, and that's Tyler Booker. You know, obviously goes to the Cowboys, and did you hear him on Micah Parsons? Figure you have this.
Who, Tyler Booker?
Oh, my goodness. This is the guy that wanted to steal your soul. Remember that from the combine?
Oh, yes.
Listen to this.
What does it feel like to see the love of football leave someone's eyes?
It feels great, you know, football is a child's game. So like people wake up, be like, man, I can't wait to play this football game today. They listen to their hype music. They take all the pre-workout. They get so excited to play football until they come across Tyler Booker. And then when I'm going after you quarter after quarter, play after play, series after series, and I start to see that love leave their eyes. Like that's what makes me love the game. Like I just really love.
Michael Parsons is in his mind.
He got me ready to go.
Bro, I'm gonna play right now.
He got me hype. I ain't gonna lie.
All right.
Play after play, quarter after quarter.
Hey, man. Welcome to the team.
That's Michael Parsons.
Yeah.
Tyler Booker, he's another one that I was like, dang it, FOMO.
Yeah, that would have been. If only Nick Caserio was interested in trading like this year's picks this year.
It was mentioned.
But I don't know. Again, we don't know what the actual cost would have been, but I would have to imagine it would have been pretty big. Going back, let me a good text came in to check me, and I appreciate you checking me when I need to be checked. One of the reasons the difference between the trade back that the Texans had at 25 and the trade back the Rams had, the Texans will be selecting 34, which is stepping back 9 picks. The Rams will now be selecting 46.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is a big difference when you look at the second round and the maneuverability that you still have there.
I feel like, especially first round pick.
But if y'all have the chance to get that same trade, would y'all do that one or do the one we currently did?
No, I'd have done that one because you get a first round pick next year.
But you'd still need to maneuver yourself to get earlier in the second round.
Sure.
You got a third rounder this year and you got a third rounder next year as well.
Yeah.
So you still have some maneuverability.
I mean, the 26. Draft, and we're not going to get too far up ahead of ourselves.
You've already done some scouting, huh?
But just so you know, 2 seconds, 2/3, and 2/4.
Yeah, there's a lot.
So they got 2 seconds, 2/3 already next year.
Yeah.
So that's good.
All right. Some other things that I know that we just noted on the draft coverage. Pat McAfee was seen hitting a vape pen from a fan in the stands, which. After Paul Heyman got out here putting him on blast,
yep.
I would have imagined that he'd been a little bit cleaner on this, huh? I feel like you'd have been a little bit more vigilant.
Puff, puff, take a gummy. Puff, 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 puff. That sounds about right now.
And then did you guys see when Kelvin Banks Jr. was selected? They, you know, took it to the video in his house. And I'm guessing that's his lady that was sitting next to him.
With the baby?
With a baby.
Yeah.
And there was a baby spitting up on the broadcast. And many people had a lot of fun.
He did not want to go to New Orleans.
But I saw someone also make the joke. Because obviously that's a little bit negative. But there were some people in the positive space that were like, man, he realized his dad was going to be a millionaire and threw up. Or she. I don't know. I don't know if it was a baby boy. But ultimately, that was part of it. I don't know how many people were talking about the fact that, like, Kelvin Banks' lady, I'm assuming, who was next to him holding this baby, started like clapping and everything when they found it vigorously. And the baby was just being jarred.
Yeah.
It was like all of a sudden the baby was on on a roller coaster. And I felt bad for the baby. I was like, hey, I know you're excited, but can we pay attention to what's happening with this child
right
now?
Watch the baby, man.
So anyways, yeah.
That mother arm was moving, though.
Yeah. It was.
That baby was sitting there shaking. I threw up, too.
Yeah. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's circle back around to this draft. Who are you looking at? Like, who are you interested in now? Who is your guy?
What now?
We'll do that next.